1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll start there this morning. Always remember, this weekend, we know it's a big weekend for travel. Nothing wrong with having a little bit of fun. But it's a weekend we're supposed to remember those who have fallen in service to our country. With that said, I begin to reflect on what Christ did for us and how we should always remember the price he paid, the life he gave. Because without his life, we would have no life. Without what he did at Calvary, there'd be no future for any of us. Jesus was the greatest fallen soldier ever, for he saved us from our sins. And Jesus went to the cross willingly. He did not try to stop it. The Bible says that he went like a sheep led to slaughter, did not open his mouth. For he knew what he must do to fulfill the purpose for all of us. And it seems impossible, this thing called grace, seems impossible because we have religious people, we have the church age, who try to control and say what we do right or wrong, blah, 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 not realizing that grace covers it all. That grace covers every mistake, grace covers every failure, grace covers every sin. For if we could save ourselves, there would be no purpose for Jesus to ever have came. There would be no purpose in the cross. But Jesus did come because we could not save ourselves, because there was something missing. So Christ sacrificed his life. He gave all for all of us. It's a beautiful story, the cross is. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to endure 39 stripes at a whipping post, but he did. He didn't have to be blasphemed and spit upon and cursed at, but he was. He didn't have to be beaten, but he went through it. He didn't have to be nailed to a tree, but he was. And our Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords, hung between heaven and earth, hung there suspended in the mid of air for us. All dignity gone, all royalty gone. The Bible says, him that knew no sin became sin, that we could become the righteousness of God. We're not righteous by the church we belong to, church. We're not righteous by going through ceremonial stuff. We're righteous because Christ lives in us. That's what makes us righteous. We must always remember. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, verse 24. When he had given thanks, he broke it, talking about the bread, and said, take this, eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Broken for you. My body was on Calvary for you. I sacrificed for you. I loved you enough to go through it for you. I looked beyond the cross and saw a future for you. Now, I know there are many beliefs and many teachings and many ways that people try to find their truth and their spirituality. But when you know that you know what the truth is, there's nobody that can talk you out of it. And like Rodney said earlier, you better believe God still talks and God still speaks and we can still hear God's voice. He speaks clearly. He speaks boldly. He can speak loudly. He can speak in a whisper. But God still speaks. The God I know still talks to me. The God I know is real and alive. And there is no doubt that there is a future for me after this earth because of what Jesus did at Calvary. No doubt. No doubt that the longer I live on this earth, the closer I am to eternity. Every step I live, every moment I wake up, every breath that I breathe, every heart that beats is a beat and a breath closer to my eternity that God has waiting on me because he gave it all. Never forget what Christ did. Never forget the cross. Never forget. Paul said that. He said, I keep that dying of the Lord. I keep it bearing in my body all the time that his spirit or his fruit or his work may manifest through me. He always remembered the dying of the Lord Jesus and how impactful and how important that was. Now, Jesus is talking here about taking the bread, breaking it. I do it for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he goes on, in the same manner he took the cup after supper. This cup is the new covenant. It is my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. It's important we never forget the price he paid for us. Because we can get, church, we're 2,000 years removed from that. And there's been many facts to prove that Jesus lived, that Jesus Christ lived, and that he died, and that he rose. There's been many proven facts of that. Even though we're 2,000 years from that, and we weren't there, and we didn't see it, I say this all the time, there are many things in history we believe that we didn't see. There's many things we say, oh, yeah, Abraham Lincoln got shot in the Ford Theater. Well, you wasn't there. How do you know he got shot? But you sure talk about it all the time. How do you know? How do you know the Yankees won the 1937 World Series or whatever? You wasn't there. Well, some of you were, but most of you worked. How do you know that? So when it comes to the Bible, I believe it. Man, I believe it. I'm going to tell you something. It is harder to disprove God than it is to prove God. It's harder to disprove God. Because everything you look at, I mean, how can it be? How can it be the creation that we see, the world that we see around us? I mean, the animals absolutely amaze me how they know what to do without you telling them. They have an instinct within them. That instinct wasn't just some thing that happened. It was a creation of God that gave them that instinct. It's a creation of God. I've said many times, the snakes go hibernate. Why do snakes hibernate? Because God tells them to. And why do they come out? Because God tells them to come out. I know what you're all thinking. Thanks, God. He tells them to come out. How's the old grizzly bear know it's time to go in his cave for the winter? And he stretches paws and yawn and time for about a 3 or 4 month nap. Because God tells them to. It's harder to disprove God than it is to prove God. Do this as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You're acknowledging, you're confirming, you're being aware of his death and what that brought us. His death brought us life. The Bible says that you know, he was, when he was buried, here's how I see, when he was buried in that tomb, he was buried with our sins. And he rose with our righteousness. He went in that tomb bearing all that we couldn't accomplish. But when he came out glorious and victorious. And now we have that eternal hope because of the sacrifice he made. This is a war that wasn't lost. We may have lost some wars, so to speak, in America, but we've not lost. This war wasn't lost. This war was won. It was won forevermore. He is king, and there ain't a demon in hell can do nothing to ever change that. There's not a dark shadow that can rise up. There's not a voice that can scream to say Jesus isn't real. Whatever. You can't make something unreal that's already real. It's there. He's alive, and he's forevermore, no matter what anybody else says. And every knee is going to bow, the Bible says. I believe that. Every knee is going to bow. The centurion soldier, when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross and the veil rent from top to bottom, remember the centurion soldier, what he said, this truly was Christ the Lord. This truly was. He went from unbelieving to recognizing, yes, this was the Messiah. And every knee is going to bow, every demonic force. Bible says everything in heaven, on earth, and below is going to acknowledge that name. No other name higher. No other name greater. No other name that has breakthrough. No other name has power. No other name. Roddy's demonstration of that skit was so vivid of when Christ shows up. Remember the demonic man in the graveyard who was bound by chains? He had lost his mind, and he was cutting himself with stones, and he was crazy. And they had locked him away for the safety of himself and other people. And he was living among the graves. But when Jesus landed on shore and began to approach him, immediately the demons began to cry out, why have you come, Jesus? Why have you come to persecute me, to torment me? Why have you come? They recognized who he was. When the power of God shows up, the devil knows he's in trouble. Period. Because there's no other name that has no power. No other name. Even when folks curse, they use God's name. They don't use Satan's name. You ever heard anybody curse Satan's name? It's always God's name. Why is it God's name? I mean, my Lord. Remember the price that was paid for us. Why should we remember that? Because it reminds us of the love God has for us. Here's why. There are times that we get low on ourselves. There's times we get discouraged. There's times we feel condemnation. There's times we feel guilt. There's times we feel shame and pain. There's times we feel like we're unworthy. Times we feel like God's forsaken us. Times we feel like God doesn't love us. Times we feel we've been unsaved. Remember the price Christ paid for you. This appointment at Calvary was all that was ever needed for our salvation. All that was ever needed. Church, we don't have to try to save ourselves. We can't. As Courtney said so beautifully last Sunday morning, we all sin. We just sin differently. We just sin differently. And without that price of Jesus covering our lives, what'd Paul say? I would still, if he hadn't arisen from the dead, I'd still be in my sin. If he hadn't arose from the dead, I would still be in my sin. But I'm not, because he rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, he brought the freedom of my salvation with him. It is a gift of God, lest any man boast. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. Listen, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and 11. Remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by his hands. You were once Gentile. That at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. At one time there was no hope. We were without God. We were outside Israel. We were outside that covenant seed. But look what it says in the next verse. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We were once afar off, but because of the blood, it brought us right into the family of God. His blood made us one with him. His blood covered our sins, and we have the same inherited rights that Abraham, Moses, David, Isaac, Jacob, all, we have the same rights, inherited spiritual rights, as they did, because Jesus shed his blood for us. There's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus being poured upon our lives. Nothing stronger, nothing greater. And when we recognize and when we realize that love he had for us, we're still going to struggle. There's not a single Christian that doesn't struggle with something. If they tell you they're not struggling, they are a big fat liar with their pants on fire. Everyone has a struggle. Everyone has a battle. Everyone has something. Everyone has some demons within them that they have to battle or keep in check, or it would overtake us. We're not that far advanced. We're not that spiritual. We're not that religious. We're not that high and mighty. Without Christ, we're nothing at all. He is our hope. He is our future. He is our glory. He is everything. And without him, we have nothing and we are nothing. But with him, we can do all things. And with him, we are more than conquerors. And with him, there is nothing impossible. And with him, we are the head and not the tail anymore. With him, we walk in power and not in fear. With him, we walk in peace and not... See, with him, there are so many things that he gives us that without him, we would our lives would be completely different. You know why we can have peace? Church, I know the world's chaotic. I know our culture is shifting. The millennium generation scares the living heck out of me. Most of them. Because of their future and what I see and how they're acting, how they're living. I'm like, this is our future? My God. But you know what? God's still in the world. God's still in control. And I don't have to fear what the world brings. I don't have to fear what I see on the news. I don't have to fear. Let me tell you this. People are so enraged right now, politically, right? So enraged with politics. So enraged. I mean, Donald Trump rallies are being, they're ridiculous how people are acting at that. Here's the deal. God's in control. It's all that matters, church. The Donald's not in control. Hillary's not in control. And the Bernie movement ain't in control. God's in control. Period. There is one Lord and one Savior and one King. And I will never bow my knee to any man or any movement other than the name of Jesus Christ. Period. That's who I belong to. Trust God. Trust Him. And what things? There's things we can't change. There's things that we just simply can't change. So we just walk with God. There's always been politic problems. In the Bible days, there were politic problems. There's always war going on. Always issues going on. Always. Trust God. Remember David got in trouble one time, King David, because he got a little arrogant. He went and counted all his chariots and horses. I want to know how many people I got, how many soldiers I got, how many chariots I got, how many horses I got. I want to number my army and see how big I am. And God kind of checked him on that. What are you doing numbering your army? I'm the Lord of hosts. I've got this. What are you worried about your size of your army when you got the size of your God fighting for you? We try to put numbers on things. We get so worked up over things that either we can't control or things that God's already got in control. And trusting Him and living that life of trust is so much more peaceful than trying to live a life of fear, live a life of chaos, live a life of anger. Some folks are just so angry all the time. They're mad about everything. Just so angry. So mad at this and so mad at them and so mad at this person. And so just so angry. You know why they're angry? They have no peace in their soul. When you have peace, church, you can love people. I mean all people, not just your kind of people. Let me make that clear. All people. I can love anybody. I might not agree with their lifestyles, but I can love anybody. They don't got to look like me. I can love them if they're laying in the gutter, and I can love them if they're living in the White House. I can love them because Christ gives us that love, because He gave us that love. And see, when church, if we have received the love of God, if we have received His sacrifice in our lives, how can we not give that to others? What Rodney, I think you missed it, Courtney. Rodney was bragging on you about your testimony last week and was talking about how what really impressed him was the love the church showed you last week, how powerful that was. That after you told your story, the road you'd been on and things you'd encountered and the demons you fought and how God has brought you through that. You know, if you weren't here last week, you missed a powerful testimony of Courtney's life story, a story that took her down a very bad road, a story that took her from drug addiction to prison to a lot of other things that we won't go into because she shared last week, but some deep things she shared last week. And the last church she shared last week shunned her and told her to leave. Church told her to leave because of her lifestyle. Aren't you glad you don't go to the emergency room when you're having chest pains? I'm hurting. I need help. You got to leave. But I'm having a heart attack. I'm about to die. You got to leave. We don't do heart attacks. That don't fit our profile. In the church, it's supposed to be that, a place of healing, a place of hope, a place of restoration, a place of resurrection, a place that takes us from ashes back to beauty, a place that takes us from darkness back to light, a place that raises us up and lets us know you're not alone. And I'm telling you, Courtney's story, there are many of you here I know that are battling or have battled or are battling now some of the same things, and I had to encourage you to hear you're not alone. That there are other people battling problems, other people that are facing issues. And church, I know it's easy when you've not been there. I know it's easy. You know, Melanie's made fun of me for years because we grew up totally opposite. Melanie, you know, says, you know, you had the white picket fence life. And I did. Not make fun of me, but, you know, just, you know, comparing. Not make fun of me. That's the wrong term. But, you know, talks about it. You had the white picket fence life. You have kind of used the white picket fence life. and she didn't. Melanie didn't have a fence at all. I had the white picket fence. And we come together and I begin to realize, wow, look at Melanie's life and what she went through and what she suffered and what she saw. And I did, church. I grew up in a home with no alcohol, no drugs, didn't smoke, didn't curse, didn't gamble, didn't lie, didn't cheat, didn't fornicate. Pretty good home, wasn't it? I don't guess there was no fornication going on or adultery. Parents that were fessed up, I hope there wasn't. But anyway, good home. None of that. I meet Melanie, start sharing her story, and wow. You know, my parents have been married all their lives. Melanie been through, you know, her parents been through a couple of different marriages, two or three marriages. She had stepdad and dad, and moved all around, lived in the States my whole life. Whole life lived here. Melanie lived everywhere. She's been everywhere, man. I mean, really, everywhere. And we meet, and we come together, and we're like, wow. And you know what Melanie helped me with the most? She helped me realize that, you know what? Everybody didn't have my life. And it's easy when we don't experience that life to look at others and judge them so critically. We look at them and say, you know, wow, how could you be that way? And what, not realizing their life was different than yours. But for the grace of God, I had my parents. But for the grace of God, I was born into who I was born into. By the grace of God, He called and saved my mom and dad, and I was raised in a Christian home just by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I wasn't, you know, abused and beat. I was whipped quite a bit, but, you know, wasn't beaten, abused, just whipped quite a bit. Thank God for that. But it's the grace of God that gave me that, period. I take no credit for it. As a pastor, I hear your stories. As a pastor, I'm privy to hear the personal side that many of you don't know about each other. And you'll sit in that office back there in the sanctuary, man, you'll share what you've been through, you'll share what's going on in your lives, and all of a sudden I've got a deeper understanding and a deeper compassion for your lives because you're sharing something I didn't know existed. That's what the love of Christ does. It's compassionate. It reaches out. And that's what he did for us. Now, you got to raise your hands, but since we got saved, a lot of us remember the day we got saved, the moment we got saved, has any of you sinned since you got saved? No, not y'all. Of course we have. So why would God call us, save us, to get rid of us? Because God has all foreknowledge. God knew the mistakes we would make, and God knew the struggles we would have, and God knew the battles we would have. But yet God came to save the heart. See, it's all about the heart. Do we believe in our heart that he is Lord? Do we believe that he is the only way? It is by faith we are saved. We don't clean up first. We give our lives to Christ first. And he takes care of the rest. Carl, I told your story. You're back now as I tell you this. I've told your story many times. The time when you came to the church, you hadn't been coming but a few years, and you and Joe were going door knocking. Remember that? Y'all were going door knocking together, handing out brochures. And you had big earrings in your ears. Remember that? You had earrings. And you came to me and you said, James, I'm going door knocking, visiting people for the church. And I got these big earrings in. Do you want me to take them out? Do you remember what I told you? Do you remember the response I gave you? You may not. Do you remember what I said when you asked me that question? I said, I did. After that, I said, something about, does it bother you? And you're like, well, not really. I said, well, don't bother me. And I said, just follow God. Whatever God says, I'm fine with it. That's what I told you. And a couple weeks later, you came out, and it didn't matter to me. It really didn't. And when you come back in, a couple weeks ago, you had your earrings out, and you went, look, Pastor. I was like, what'd you do? Well, I just like I didn't need it no more. You know, and church, I understand that's not a sin, a guy wearing an earring. If you're still in that age and day, I mean, that's not a sin. I'm just saying, Carl all of a sudden felt, you know what, I may need to look a little different just because I'm serving God, and I just want to, you know, have the right light in order to witness to him. But what if I'd have said, you're darn right, them things coming at you, old heathen, hell-bound, daggone, hippie-looking, get them out. Or don't come back in this church wearing an earring like a little girl while priesty. What's wrong with you? Get out of here, yo. But some people talk that way. Wow, really? I mean, unbelievable that we're that way. Man, Jesus never talked that way. You can't find one place where Jesus put someone down. He lifted them up. Now, I know he went in the temple and kicked over tables a little bit one day. But I'm talking about when he talked to people, he invested in their lives. The woman at the well, he invested in her. Zacchaeus, he invested. Anyone that came to him, he invested and gave them hope. The woman in adultery, I mean, think about, I'm going to tell you something. This is happening today in 2016 in a lot of churches. You go to maybe a staunch religious Baptist church and bring a woman up here. I bring Stacy up here for the whole church. We caught her in the act of adultery. What do y'all say we do? And Carrie says, stone her, Pastor. Sharon says, I want to throw the first one. Get her. She's an adulterer. We don't do that in the Baptist church. And then I walk up. All right, guys, y'all want to stone her? We want to stone her. We want to kill this woman. The law says she must die because she committed adultery. Okay? What do you say, Jesus? Mr. Rabbi, Mr. Know-it-all, what do you say? Well, here's what I say to Sharon and to Carrie and to Carl and to Minnie and even little grandma.
You without sin.
Y'all throw the first stone at Stacy. Come on now. Carrie, throw your stone. If you can say you ain't got no sin, you throw it first. Man, all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere changed, didn't it? And all the people started seeing their own sins and probably started remembering what they did last night. Just didn't get caught. And like, oh my gosh. And I bet they're texting each other around that little circle. OMG, I can't throw the first stone. Can you do it? Hey, you do it first, I'll do a second. I ain't doing it first. You do it first. I ain't doing it first. All of a sudden, they all dropped their rocks and they walked away. And Jesus says, Stacy, look around. Where's your accusers? I don't have none. And what did Jesus say? Oh, neither do I. Go and sin no more. I've forgiven you. My grace has covered you. I'm not judging you. I'm loving you. John 3:16 is Joe Brown, I guess, favorite verse, or one of them, I would say. And when that terrible day comes for me, when he's no longer on the earth, but the glorious day for him when he's in heaven, I will make sure that verse is definitely spoken. But I like what 17 says, too. Nobody reads John 3:17. We know what 16 says. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, whosoever shall believe shall perish, have everlasting life. Then 17 says, for I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. 17 is powerful. I didn't come to condemn the world. I didn't come with fire in my eyes like this great angry God. I didn't come like, you know, Doc and the Marines. I'm on the firing line. Didn't come like that. I came to give myself up, to surrender my life that you could be saved and have an eternal future, knowing you will never die. I'm dying once so you never have to die. That's what Christ came to do. Next verse. Therefore, you are no longer strangers. You are no longer foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The blood makes us part of the family of God. Remember what he did for you. We're part of God's family. We may look different and act different. We're very dysfunctional. You may not even like each other, but you gotta love each other. Because Christ loved us. And we're part of his family with our differences, with our weaknesses, with our annoyances, with our strengths. We are his family. If you got more than one kid, they're always different. If you got more than one kid, they're different. Like night and day. Our three are completely different. All three different. But they're part of the same family. God, we're part of his family. And we may be different. We may act different. May look different. May behave a little differently. But I'm thankful God doesn't throw away the clay. I'm thankful for Jeremiah when he gave Jeremiah that word to go to the potter's house and look at the guy on the wheel. See that clay that he's molding? Notice he don't throw away the clay when it's not shaped the right way. He just takes it off the wheel and then reshapes it and molds it into what his image is. God doesn't throw us away. We have got to quit letting the devil beat us up over the things that we mess up on or over our weaknesses. Church, we are never going, don't let any spiritual person tell you you ought to be in a place where there's no temptation, where there's no struggle, where there's no weakness. We all have it. All of us have a struggle or a weakness or we're tempted. That's never going to go away as long as we're in the flesh. Paul said that. He says, I constantly got two battles, always warring in me, always. What I want to do, I can't do. What I can't do, I want to do. I've always got two battles always going. But the Holy Spirit within us gives us the strength to stand. And we do have power through him to overcome the demons and the battles that are trying to destroy us if we will let it. I've said before many times, it's hard to be on your knees praying and sinning at the same time. That's hard to do. So, whenever that temptation comes, that battle comes, that demon begins to speak, what do we do as Christians? We turn to the Word of God and begin to proclaim what God's Word says. We pray. we enter into to prayer. We begin to worship God, pray to God, talk to God, and let Him lift that off of us. He will. Next scripture. This is Colossians, I believe, chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We've been translated from one to the other. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins through His blood. We have redemption. We don't forgive each other, but Christ forgave us. The only way, church, we can have any peace is to know that we are forgiven. Doesn't mean you're not going to mess up tomorrow. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a struggle later. But it means that I trust God's grace. It's enough to cover me, not just for yesterday, but for tomorrow. God's grace can cover us our whole lives. See, that's the thing that's not been taught exactly right. We believe our sins of yesterday are forgiven. Christ died one time. Once. He don't die every time we sin. My Lord, He never got off the cross. He died once. The Bible in Hebrews 9:12, one of my favorite verses, Hebrews 9:12, says, He went in once and for all to obtain eternal redemption for us. One time for all people to attain eternal redemption. Always remember, if you're a Christian, you are redeemed. Redemption is not a state we flow in and out of. It's a state we stay in. Do you hear me? Redemption is a state we stay in. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not might be redeemed yesterday and not redeemed tomorrow. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The Lamb's blood flows in me day after day after day, season after season after season, keeping me in all of my ways, redeemed by the blood. Now, if you want to stay in bondage, that's your choice, but thank God He brought me out of that. Church, He brought me out of that bondage of always worrying if I was really His or not. Am I really saved or not? Because I don't always do exactly right. Well, we're not going to always do exactly right. I mean, if we wait to serve God until we're at a point we think we can, we never will. Because we're never going to be there. Even the sweetest people we see in our little church, they got storms, they got battles, and they got weaknesses. They got things they got to fight against. We have been redeemed through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Next verse, Jeremy. Oh, that's it. Okay. That's all I got, right? Always remember the price Christ paid for you. It's important because it's a constant reminder that, yes, I'm yours, Lord, even though I may not hear you the way I want to hear you. You ever been in those dry spells where you couldn't hear from God the way you wanted to? I've been there. You know, you can't hear from God the way you want, or you feel like you've not heard His voice in a while, you hadn't felt His presence in a while, or you're in a dry place. You know what's beautiful about that dry place? God's still there. He is the living water, the Bible says, and that water never runs out. The Bible says He'll quench our thirst. He says those that receive Me will never thirst again, which means I've got continual living water flowing through me, even when I can't feel it. Water's flowing through me. So I call upon the name of the Lord, and He hears me. Always remember the price Christ paid, the battle He won for us. He went to the cross for one purpose, to establish His kingdom and redeem His people. And I'm part of that. And I am so thankful. Aren't you thankful, church? You know why Paul was so persecuted? He preached Jesus, but what's the big deal in that? Even today's world, sometimes people don't. The reason Paul was so persecuted is he preached Jesus, period. That Jesus is all you need. And man, the Jews couldn't stand that. Because they were used to all the ceremonial stuff. You mean, I ain't got to do this, I ain't got to do it. Jesus is all you need. And in some churches or some teachings even now, some denominations or doctrines or religious movements, it's all about works. It's all about doing stuff. It's all about the more I do, the closer I get to heaven. The more I do, the better things I'll have in heaven. And all this stuff gets in the way. Whenever the Bible is clear, it is that Jesus. And see, this. Some of us have been programmed so this way for so many years. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around this. And when I say this, it's not being flip. It's being real. It's being honest as I can be. And sometimes it hurts your feelings because you're like, well, but listen to this. Jesus did all the work. Jesus paid the price in full. So, Pastor, what have I got to do then? I mean, you mean he did all the work? What do? You place your faith in him. You trust him. You serve him. Period. You serve him. You can't do a thing to save yourself. A church doesn't save you. Denomination doesn't save you. Christ alone saves us. Remember that. As it's Memorial Weekend, don't forget the price, the greatest price ever paid, happened on Mount Golgotha. The battle between sin and death and righteousness and life. And that third day when that stone was rolled away and Jesus walked out, the battle was won. Thank God, and we become partakers and inheritors of his covenant. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Come get a closeout song ready, Melanie, for just something. I don't know what's going to happen in our country over the next few years. A lot's changing. A lot is shifting. And sometimes people say, well, this is the church, that's that. There's some things that we can't separate out of the church that's happening in our country. You know, we have the new movement now, the transgender thing going on, and I know many of our young people think that's not a big deal and what's the issue. But there's going to be a bigger backlash than it looks like at the present on this situation. And church, what we have to do, we have to stand our ground, trust God, serve God, and stand on our principles of what we think is right. And there are some things, I don't care how many laws are passed, I don't care how many bills are written, I don't care who says what about it, there are some things that are just unchangeable in God's word that are just not right. Period. It's not going to change it. And we're in a world of such confusion. We're in a world of such, you know, me and Melanie went to Boone yesterday with Bill and Christy, had a good time up there, and you walk the streets of Boone and you see quite a bit of diversity up there. I'd ready to come home. And you see so many people that look so confused, and they're searching, and they don't know what truth is. They want truth, but don't really know what that truth is. And that truth only comes in knowing who Jesus is. Because he settles all doubts. Doesn't mean we don't still have problems, don't still have storms. I've heard people say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but yeah, I still suffer. We're going to suffer in the earth. I call him Uncle Gail. Everybody calls Grandma, Grandma. Everybody calls you Uncle Gail. Set aside Bill. Gail's been a Christian for many, many years. He pastored church for 25 years. Up north. That don't count up north. But anyway, he pastored 25 years. And you know what? He's been through a lot of storms. Gail's been through a lot of storms. He's lost family members. He's had help. Gail has suffered a lot. But you know one thing I never heard Gail say? Why God me? I don't know. He's always promoting his faith in the Lord. God got him through it. We're going to battle. We're going to have storms. But in the storm, we can still have peace. In the storm. I know you're tired of hearing this story. I know Melanie is. But as an analogy, as a little boy, who was it? Oh, it was Christian. As a little boy, you've heard the peanut butter cookie story, my mom, right? Little boy. The storm's hitting our house. I'm a little boy, 4 or 5 years old. The wind's blowing. I'm scared. It's lightning, thunder, and wind's howling. I'm scared. Mom come gets me. We go sit in the hallway. She's right beside me. She had made some homemade peanut butter cookies, which are really good, by the way. hint, hint, made some homemade peanut butter cookies and was sitting there talking to me and eating. I was eating them through the storm. You know what? The storm didn't go away right then. That wind still howled, that thunder still rolled, that lightning still cracked. But you know what? Mom helped give me peace while the storm was going on. God gives us peace while the storm's going on. It don't mean we come right out of it immediately, but while we're going through it, God gives us peace. And through it, we have it, and then we will eventually come out of it. Always remember, what song you got picked out? That's good. Yeah, come on up here. We want to open the altar today. If you want to come pray this morning, as Melanie sings this song, you just want to get something off your chest to God. You want to just talk to him a minute. You just want to, maybe you don't, maybe you've not really accepted him. Maybe you denied. Maybe you don't know where you're at spiritually at all. Maybe you're confused about where you're at. Maybe, you know, you just want to rededicate. Whatever your situation is this morning, as he sings this song, Nothing Greater Than Grace, it's a beautiful song with a beautiful message. And you just need to talk to God. And I'm telling you something. I was talking to a guy the other day, well, Mr. Williams actually was talking, and he said, you know what, when that altar's open, said, people, I'll be up here every single week. He said, if I was there, I'd probably be up here every week with the altar open. Because every week there's something we can talk to God about. Every week there's something we can come and get off our chest. This is a place of refuge and a place of hope. It's not a place of, oh, my Lord, you know, carriage coming up. Ooh, I wonder what she's going through. It ain't like that. This altar is for you to talk to God. To say, you know what, I just want to surrender myself to you, Lord, and leave here freer than I came in. Whatever that is. And it may just be free for one day at a time. That's fine. Do it for one day at a time. I'll be free tomorrow. Be free today. One day at a time. But I want to open this up. If you want to pray or talk to God or just feel the Spirit drawing you anyway, come up here and talk to God for a minute during this song.
What do you say to someone who feels like they've lost it all? Over the edge with no one there to break their fall. And what do you say to someone who feels so unloved, giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough? And what do you say to a hopeless soul who can't remember their way home, and everything is out of their control? There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak he can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to say, remember there is nothing greater than grace. What do you say to someone whose life is on the line and they're unsure what happens after their last breath in time? What do you say to someone who's built a wall you can't break through, and it's so hard for them to hear the truth? There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak he can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to say, remember there is nothing greater than grace. So don't lose heart. There is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to say, so before you think that you're too lost to save, remember there is nothing greater than
Father, for every soul in this place today, for every heart that is broken, for every life that is struggling, for every mind that is fighting demons and voices of lies and darkness, for every person that feels hopeless, God, I pray you speak to their heart and let them know with you there is hope, that with you their heart can be fixed and be mended. With you, you can give strength where weakness has been for so long. With you, God, you can break every yoke of bondage and set every chain free of their lives. And we just pray, God, your Holy Spirit do a work in the hearts and lives of your people here this morning. There is nothing greater than you. No power higher. No name higher. Nothing bigger than our God. And we thank you, Lord, that your presence is here right now. And we thank you we have a God we can feel, a God we can hear, a God that can touch us. And we know you're alive and know you're well. We just give you praise for grace. Grace that breaks every chain. Grace that reminds us, no matter what we've done or where we've been, that you can raise us from that. Lord, I pray that the spirit of condemnation, the spirit of torment will be broken in this place to realize we can't change one thing we've done yesterday, but we can only go forward with today. We can't erase one thing of the past, but God, your blood has covered that if we place our faith in you. And our past will be remembered no more. Your word says you removed as far as the east is from the west, that you will remember our iniquities no more. And we thank you, God, for that. And I pray minds are restored today and that we go forward with a fresh set of eyes, a new vision, a new heart, a new mind, a new ears to hear what you are saying to us today, that we are loved by you. Love beyond measure, love beyond our sin, love beyond our failures, love beyond our darkness. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.